We're going to show off our home screens.
I'll show you a way to protect yourself online.
And I'm going to show you how to make your Apple Watch even better.
It's time for iOS
Today.
iOS Today comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure they are by making access and authentication seamless. Whether they're working in the office or remote, visit LastPass.com/Twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
iOS Today is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy with one click. It's that easy. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to expressvpn.com/iOS today.
Alrighty, folks, it is time for iOS Today. That guy over there in the studio is, I was going to say Micah Sargent, but that's not him. That's me. That's Leo Laporte.
Wait a minute. You said that's me. That's Leo Laporte. Hi, Micah Sargent.
I'm me. You're you.
Hi, Leo Laporte. Hello, everybody. Micah's at home. I'm in my hermetically sealed studio where I am being a hermit. Micah, I can't let this go. It looks like you have a bandage on your hand.
Let it go.
What is going on? Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I was making a delicious cake, and I did a foolish move by touching the top of a very hot surface with the palm of my hand. So along with making a cake, I thought I'd, fry up some human flesh and see what that was like.
Your own. It's so funny because we're all at home doing domestic more. It seems to be everybody's doing more domestic things, baking.
Can't get yeast anywhere.
Yeah, it's hard to get yeast. That's why sourdough is so big, right? Because you make your own. I'm sewing masks. I mean, it's kind of interesting. And of course, because these aren't things we do all the time, minor injuries. Let's not make them major, though. Let's not make them major. We don't want to go to the hospital.
I do not want to go to the hospital. In fact, they're busy. That's why I pulled out the old first aid kit and the instructions to make sure I was doing everything I needed to do to keep this wound healthy. It's going to be all right.
I don't like the word wound.
As opposed to
boo-boo.
I got to do everything I can to keep this boo-boo healthy.
See, doesn't sound so bad. Wound. Oh, my God. It sounds like you could be dying.
The problem is, growing up, boo-boo was a term for
something
poo-poo.
Else. Oh, well,
yeah.
You got to talk to your mom because she's confused the whole matter.
Yeah. No, who knows what is what and who is who. Oh, dear.
Today, we are going to show our
home screens.
That is an intimate act, isn't it?
It is a little bit. I did feel a little bit a little concerned about it. I got some heart palpitations, maybe. It's not the wound at the boo-boo. It's my feels about showing off our home screens. But look, everybody has the opportunity maybe to take some time to rearrange the home screen, think about new apps to get, check out the apps that they do have. And so it can be helpful. I know that anytime I've seen someone share their home screen online or talk about the apps that they use on the daily, sometimes I'll find new apps that I want to check out, and it can kind of be a fun peek into someone's life to see what apps they use.
It's not just the apps. It's how they're arranged. Mm-hmm. It's how the whole thing is organized.
Or not organized.
Or not. It tells you a lot about the person's psyche.
Yes.
Yes. It's like if I shared my internet history with you, my search history or my internet browser history, that would be very...
I'd never talk to you again.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't. No, it's mostly right now, it's entirely consumed with how to make a mask. YouTube, the good news is now my YouTube recommendations, which used to be, for some reason, I don't know, a lot of bikini material. Now, honest to God, I'm not searching for that on YouTube, but for some reason they decided that's what I wanted. Now it's just going to be all, how to sew.
Yeah. I love this idea of you sort of creating a Frankenstein mask from taking bits and pieces of everybody's.
Because no one mask is just right.
Right.
So I have my personal mask needs, and actually so does my wife. So she wants a mask with over-the-ear hooks, like a surgeon's mask, and she wants it to be fairly small. Over-the-ear hooks because she doesn't want to disturb her hairdo, and fairly small because she's got a fairly small face. I want a mask that can hold a beard. I don't have a beard, but I just want a big mask. And I don't like, I actually really like it with, it goes like the surgical mask where it goes, N95 mask, I mean, which goes behind your head. Yeah. I feel like that holds it in place better. My ears, they're floppy. I don't know about your ears, but they're floppy.
Mine are sensitive. So
sensitive,
holding that.
Yeah, I don't want
it would start to rub raw and I would be upset. I wouldn't like it. Even when my hair grows out and starts to touch my ears, it bugs me.
So you
can't
want,
do it.
You want the behind the head clasps. And then there's the issue of you want an elastic. That's easy. No tying, but it can be tight.
Yeah. And if you don't get the elastic just right, then it's either too loose or too tight and elastic starts to wear down after a while.
There's a little problem that I think is unique to people of my girth, but the elastic digs into my fat on my face.
Oh, okay.
It makes it bulge out around. And I look like the Pillsbury Doughboy. It's not a
good... Someone wants to go up and go, oh, look at you.
So for me, maybe a wider fabric tie might be a better choice. I don't know.
I kind of like the tie idea because, again, it's endlessly adjustable.
Right.
Well, as long as you're long enough.
We've just learned that in our county, Sonoma County, up in Northern California, starting Friday, everybody has to wear a mask. If you're not home, you have to wear a mask, and including at work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't come in. In fact, this is something I'm proud of us.
Yeah, done a good job.
Early on, Twit, we decided, even before the shelter in place, no more studio guests. We really constrained, and we sent people home very early, and everybody has been wearing masks. So the problem is, if I wear a mask during the show, I'm going to sound like this. Not to mention, you're going to think Bane is hosting the iOS Today, which is not a good thing. Although I could start talking like Bane.
Talking like
Bane. I think
I can't do Bane.
I am ready to do iOS Today, Michael Sarge. So
I just keep sounding like Yoda instead of Bane. I can't do Bane.
iOS Today you will do. So, so I don't want to get arrested, but I think
I don't think anyone wants to particularly.
No, I want to break the rules, and I respect the rules because they're trying to protect our health. Mm-hmm. And the real reason that they want to do that in the workplace is that I would perhaps be infected, but asymptomatic, and spread my disease by coughing. And you notice when I cough, I still haven't learned the elbow and this. I can't my elbow. Quite go. So I just cough in my hand, which is, of course, the wrong thing to do. Yeah.
You just have to dab,
you're so
Leo.
Limber. It's like, it's a, maybe I'll have to stretch.
Maybe it's the suit jacket.
Could be.
Anyway. I guess I also have very long arms that might be helping me.
So when you cough, it's easy. And do you have the habit now? You cough in your sleeve?
Yeah, because they started teaching us that in elementary school. Right. And so it honestly, it's just ingrained. I remember the first time there were some kids who got a little freaked out because they said like a vampire holding up a cape. And some kids were a little scared by that. But I still remember that to this day. And yeah, so I think it's just ingrained in me, luckily, to go there. So, yeah, I always go there. And if I'm at home, I'll also take up my shirt. When I'm like at home in a nice.
Yeah. You have some fabric there. You just.
Yeah. Some fabric.
And I do carry hankies, but I just don't find them readily. You know, usually when I'm coughing, it's sudden. I don't have
And it's tough with hankies too, because you're reusing it, you know, over and over again. And if you end up using it to open up doors and whatnot.
That's unfortunately, we're probably going to be going through more paper product than we'd like to these days.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So I could.
I guess that works.
This isn't so bad. And I don't. You can hear me, right?
Yeah.
I look like a bandit in the Wild West.
Not so bad.
Not so bad. I don't know. So what we're going to try to do, we've got all our hosts, you, Jason, and Ant, are all working out of your house. Right now, they come in to do some of the hands-on shows, but I think what we're going to do is have the hands-on shows, you do them from home. I think we can do that for most of them.
Yeah.
The issue is going to be showing product.
Yeah. So, I mean, I, for example, I've got the current iPhone 11, whatever it is now.
The current the iPhone Max.
11, yeah, Pro Max. And then I've got the last gen iPhone 10 S. And they both have great cameras. Plus, you know, I mean, so I don't know. We've all got different phones that have incredible cameras on them that potentially can be used.
Yeah, honestly, these are so good. You probably could just shoot some video like that.
Yeah. We'll I don't know. What else out. Would we do? Would you
that
have
would
to,
work.
We have to all take cameras home?
That's, shoot your own B-roll on, yeah. on an iPhone. You know what? That works great. Unless you're reviewing an iPhone.
Yes, exactly.
That wouldn't work. So
that would be troublesome.
I'm putting this off because I feel I'm going to be a little exposed here. But should I? Why don't you? Who? I'll show you.
I can
mine
start.
If you show me yours.
Yeah. Let's see. I'll start here. Also, I'm using, this is kind of fun, I'm using an iPhone right now, my iPhone XS, with an application called Stream Deck, which lets me set little, it's basically what you have. You have the Stream Deck.
I have the hardware. Yeah.
Yeah, you have the hardware one. I've got the software one. And so I'm able to switch scenes on my application using the Stream Deck.
This is from Elgato, which was for years the Apple video company, right? And they've kind of switched over. They do Eve now. But this Stream Deck is really...
Now
really
owned neat. By Corsair, yeah.
Is Corsair doing the Stream Deck stuff?
Yeah, Corsair. Okay. Corsair owns all of that stuff now, including the new, lighting stuff as well, which is...
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they bought.
Well, and it's still called Elgato.
They bought everything but Eve, but the
yes.
home automation stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Elgato Gaming, owned by Corsair. Okay, so this is my home screen. And you can see across the top are folders labeled A through H.
Oh, my God. You're so anal. All right. This is a reveal. See what I'm saying? It's not about the apps, it's about how you organize it.
Yes, and I think what you think is that I have them alphabetically ordered inside of the folders.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
Okay.
I'll explain. Lori Gill on MacBreak Weekly last week was talking about how she doesn't go to individual apps and tap on them. She uses the search function. I've been doing that for years. I have too many apps, and when I launch my device, I know the thing that I'm going in to do. I don't really keep games on my phone, so for the most part, my device is not sort of an idle time use device. If it is, then I'm going to go to Twitter or Instagram or something like that, or Quibi in these days. And so these folders do not have apps in them that correspond to the letter. It's just I need folders, and so I just make folders in letters. So here are the rest of them, I through, and you can see it has to go down to AF because it's already through Z through Z.
Why letters? What? So, okay, go ahead.
Because I don't need categories. I don't need to.
It's too much to say, oh, this is productivity tools.
It would
this
take is, way too long yeah, to organize.
I change stuff
all the time. I get new apps.
This is the number one gripe I have about Apple's. They call this interface springboard. That's the, you know, the finder, the desktop. It moving around items, the jiggle, 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 drag
it's
thing.
It's terrible.
So broken.
It's terrible.
If it gets in a folder and it can't get it out of a folder and then,
yeah.
Oh my God, it's awful.
And so I just don't want to mess with that. And because, like I said, when I'm going into my phone, I know what I want to do. And so I can just swipe down from the top of the screen, search for the app that I'm looking for, and then head right to that app.
Do the letters have any relationship to the app?
Not at all.
They're just folders.
They're just folders, yeah. They're folders, and I needed to give them some sort of name, and so I chose the alphabet because I didn't want to do emoji or something like that.
I have seen people do that, and that's – I have a life, but if I had the time, I love the idea of having emoji folder names.
Yeah, I just don't have the patience, I think. And I could have chosen numbers instead. But so let's disregard the A through H for a second, because the actual apps on my main screen, those are the ones that I use all the time. Now, based on how I hold my phone, which has it so that my thumb reaches this third row very easily, those are the apps that I use the most, then the ones underneath all the way down to the bottom, because these are the ones that are the most easily accessible. So messages, photos, clock, and maps are right in that area. But really the sweet spot are these four right here: messages, photos, health, and music. Those four are within the sweet spot of my thumb, the most comfortable to reach. And then down at the bottom, of course, is the dock. And those are also apps that I use the most.
And this is because you're a lefty. So the stuff on the left side of the screen is where your thumb is going to be. For a righty, I guess they do it the opposite way.
Yeah. Retcon, as you say, southpaw. So messages, obviously, is my messaging app of choice. I use the default photos app for seeing and organizing photos, the clock app. I do use Apple Maps. Health is on my home screen. I am constantly in that app because I like to track all that stuff. I just got a Kinsa smart ear thermometer. That's been
fun. Good. Yeah. Isn't that great?
Yeah, I do it at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. I run very cold for some reason. Music, obviously, is on my home screen. And then Simple is my banking app. So I've used Simple for years now. It was an online service that had launched, several years ago.
It's like a credit card first, right?
No, this one's actually debit card first. It's all banking. It's backed by Compass Bank. It used to be a foreign bank, and then the company in the United States bought it. A bank in the United States bought it. But what's great about Simple is, at the time, what was great about it was my partner and I were able to have a shared account that was easy to use, where both of us could move from our independent accounts. And so I really liked it for that. But also, it was just one of those, at the time, it was like, oh, this is some new sort of banking system. And I'm getting tired of Bank of America charging me for every single stinking thing. So let me give this a go. And I really, I like it. And I still use it to this day. It's just been great for me. My settings app, which, of course, you know, is always something I'm fiddling around with. Now, of course, here at Twit, we use the incredible LastPass. We're coming from Twit's LastPass Studios. I, many, many years ago, used 1Password, and so kind of passwords are there. So that one's on my home screen. And then my favorite, probably, app is Do. And Do is an app that is for giving you constant reminders that you need to do a thing until you get it done, and then you can finally mark it off.
It's D-O?
D-U-E. D-U-E.
Oh, do, as in the bill is due.
This item is due, yeah. And so for example, you know, maybe I take medicine every day, so this, you know, allergy medicine, for example, and I need to take it at a certain time every day. Well, I may get that notification and I may be doing something else somewhere else. And so I ignore that notification. I can set it to where 5 minutes, if I have not marked it off, it bugs me again. And then 5 minutes after that, it bugs me. I can set the interval for how often I want to be bugged. But this is good for folks like me who have a tendency to be distracted by other things. And particularly in this time, where we are working from home and living at home and doing all these things from home, there are lots of distractions. And so this app I found has been very helpful for productivity in general. But I've used Do for forever because of the fact that it does this reminder system. And then, go ahead.
Huh?
Oh, I thought you said something.
No, then, you send me the links. I have nothing to say.
Exactly. Next is Fantastical.
Fantastic.
It's such a great calendar app. I use Fantastical here. I use it on my Apple Watch with the complications. I use it in the little slide out widgets. Fantastical is everywhere. It's on my Mac. It's on everything. And I try to get as many people as I can to get Fantastical because I think it's so great.
Now, did you, because remember there was a, you know, bit of a furor last month when they changed it and came out with Fantastical 3 and said it's now a subscription. mm-hmm. product. There's a, if you already bought it before, you get the full set of features, but there'll be new features, and you can even use a free version that gives you many of the features. Do you subscribe?
I do, because I wanted to support Fantastical.
Yes. Exactly. That's exactly why I subscribed.
Yeah. There are some features that are new. One, for example, is that if you launch Fantastical, you can see your weather in a certain amount mm-hmm. of days.
I love that.
And there are some new location stuff. Most of that stuff is not aren't things that I would use most of the time in a given day.
That's right.
But supporting them, I think, is a good thing.
Flexi Bits.
Yeah.
Really, yeah, really great, great people.
They do a good job.
Michael, of course, is... He's been on this show, I think.
I think he has. I think before my time. But yeah, he was definitely on here.
Yeah.
Then, of course, I'm a big nerd. The home app obviously has to be on my home screen.
Well, you are the host of Smart Tech Today.
Smart Tech Today,
right here.
On the Twit TV
network.
So I've got all my controls here, cameras and things like that from the home app. But of course, pressing down on it lets me do different scenes. I'm still a big Instagrammer. I don't post a whole lot, but I do view Instagram. That's kind of my idle use application aside from Twitter. And so it's there. Pocket Casts. I know that you and I both like Pocket Casts. That's my
big fan
podcast app of choice. We've had Russell Ivanovich, the co-founder of Shifty Jelly, the company that makes Pocket Casts, on this show before. When I believe it was when, Leo, you were out. And so he was on. I interviewed him to talk about the history of Pocket Casts, but then also he was a co-host. So that was a lot of fun. So definitely check it back.
That's a fun thing, too, about showing. And I'm not in the dating pool, but I bet you that is, I would say, second or third date material. Where you compare home screens and say, you know, and then you see like, oh, I use Pocket Cast too. Oh, I use Fantastical too. You know, there may be
1,000%.
Don't you think?
1,000%.
Yeah, I don't know.
At least for me, it was. I mean, it I can say quite literally confirming that. Yeah. When I was dating around, that sounds weird. When I was going on some dates and stuff, I definitely remember going, oh yeah. So let's see, what apps do you use? You know? And then
I wouldn't ask to go in somebody's purse, but I might, if I got to know them pretty well, say, let me see your phone.
Just curious.
It's pretty intimate. You know, honestly, I don't know what's on Lisa's homepage. So maybe
at all?
Yeah, because maybe it's just me, but anytime somebody when they're in studio and they want us to get a picture or a selfie and they give me my phone, I'm very careful.
Yes.
About not looking, you know, and not, I don't want to see any texts.
Right.
And that's even true for my wife. And we're married. We're very intimate. And it's not like I'm afraid she's doing something I don't approve of at all.
On the contrary, you trust her.
I don't need to. But at the same time, I also feel like, you know, what's on her homepage is her business.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we're airing our business. But I agree with you, Leo.
Well, there's a different reason for that, because we're trying to show people different ideas for apps and ways to organize and stuff like that. So we're helping people. We have a reason to do this.
I agree. Anytime my partner is using his phone or something like that, I'm never, you know, over his shoulder. I, in fact, will often look away. It's just like, it's your thing. I trust you. That's not my business.
It's like when before we use social distancing to describe this, the term social distancing meant like when you're in a line at an ATM machine, you kind of don't stare at the person as they're entering their PIN.
Yeah.
You kind of look away. Just to
the person in the urinal next to you. Don't stare at them either.
Unless, really? You're not supposed to do that? No, kidding. Kidding. I do know people, though, who will get in long conversations in the men's room. And I personally
hate that.
Yeah, that doesn't.
Not for me.
No, not for me.
Thin Cash App is the next one on mine. Cash App is the app for sending, receiving cash.
I have to say, I noticed that right away. I thought, he gives people money a lot.
Oh, yeah. Send me your cash. Cash tag.
This is cash.me. This is not the maybe more popular Venmo, or is it? I don't know. I'm not young anymore.
So here's the thing. I'm an old man. people use Venmo and love Venmo of my generation, and the younger generation, I honestly have no utter clue what they're doing. Maybe they use Snapchat Cash. I don't know. I use Apple Pay with some people to send. You do it right in the Messages app. You have the app there where you can send money. And then everyone else, I use Cash App. People sort of young to older millennials in that range. So I'm on the young side. My mom's like right on the cusp of not being a millennial. I think she is. And so we in that range really do like Cash App, and kind of my whole family uses Cash App. I got my grandma into Cash App.
It's very easy to use.
It's so easy to use. Yeah. I wish I had my wallet with me. I'd show you. I would put spending money onto my Cash card and keep sort of all of my transactions and things like that happening in Simple. And so I had the debit card that Cash will send you. They engrave it, they laser engrave it. And so mine has little dogs on it and then my signature. Not my full signature, but just my first name. And so there's these little doggies on it. And I think Cash has done a great job. Of course, isn't that where part of the $1 billion that Jack Dorsey is donating
Square.
Is coming from?
Yeah, Square.
So super cool there. And you see people all the time on Twitter kind of using Cash App as their means to give money or receive money. So it does seem to be pretty popular. But I know among the folks that I know, they like Venmo. I just don't like it because they tried to make money giving and receiving into a social network. And that's
because everything
business.
You do is public unless you do. I explicitly make it mm-hmm. private. And I tell everybody,
don't put my stuff.
Well, I even say go in your settings and make the default private. But the kids, I look at, I can see what my son's giving people money for. And it's like, he doesn't mind. And it, in fact, for them, it is a social thing because they make up jokey reasons.
Right. Instead of pizza, it's, something else.
Yeah, yeah. So they're funny. So I guess that's maybe why they share it publicly.
Yeah.
It's also Venmo is PayPal. And some people just don't like to do business with PayPal. So, and by the way, you can use Facebook. You can use Apple Messages to send money. Why don't you use Apple Messages?
No, I do use that too. That's my other one. Okay. Yeah,
have to have Apple products for that to work.
Yeah, it's a little bit more difficult knowing where to go in the Messages app get to that and send it. And whereas the Cash App is like, oh, I know how to use an app, and then I can figure things out from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think too, the setting up your bank account with Apple Pay Cash is a little bit more difficult than it is with Cash App. And Cash App provides for some different types of transaction services between the two. And so I know this was interesting. A lot of people, not a lot of people, but some people are using Cash App to receive their stimulus checks.
Yeah. If you go to cash.app on the website, they're making a big deal about that. They've got dancing dollar signs and stuff like that. and some of those checks are starting to come. I've heard people getting their money already. So, if you need it, that could be a boon. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last one here is, and I guess I'll talk about my doc after that, but last app here is Deliveries. And this is my favorite delivery tracking app. So you can see here, I'm waiting. I pre-ordered the child toys. This is the Baby Yoda. I don't know how long ago that was. Way back whenever the show first came out and these toys were first available. And so you could see I still have 29 days to wait for one of them and 57 days to wait for the other.
Oh, man. What'd you buy them on Alibaba?
No, they're from Amazon, but they were just available for pre-order. Ah. And so they haven't shipped yet. They haven't launched yet.
Privacy.
Mm-hmm.
How does stuff get in there? Because I used to use a program. I can't remember the name of it. Began with an S, which would do the same thing, but it did that by skimming your Gmail.
Oh, no. And you do this manually.
Yeah, I realize. So this one, you're entering it manually.
Yeah. So I copy Amazon, for example, I can go into an Amazon page. I go to Amazon.com on my phone. I go to orders and then I go to the order page. I tap the share sheet button and then I say add to deliveries. And then it uses the order code number to create an entry. So you can see here.
It was really useful to have it do it automatically. I mean, that was neat.
Yeah, that is super cool. But again, the privacy implications there are kind of worrisome. Yeah. And deliveries, I like too that it integrates with your calendar. So I have a calendar devoted just to deliveries so that it shows this is when this product is expected to arrive. And I can just check my calendar and say, oh, today is when that dish brush I ordered on Amazon is supposed to arrive, or this is supposed to arrive. And it has information too. I don't want to pop into it because then it's going to show my address, but it has a map across the top. Well, in fact, I can show with this one. You can see this map up at the top. That map will show you the locations from where it comes to where it goes, and then provide the information in between to give you what you're looking for. So yeah, you can see here I've ordered this excellent grooming kit that includes safety scissors and some nail clippers and things like that from Manscaped, and that's supposed to arrive in 3 days. But yeah, I like deliveries for the tracking and then archiving afterward. I've got all of my deliveries in there in the archive. I can go back and go, oh, I don't think I received that package, or oh, what was that I ordered that time? And it's all available here. My shame, my eternal shame for all the packages I've ordered is right there in deliveries.
The program I used to use was called Slice.
Slice.
And Rakuten bought it like they bought everything else. And now the Slice app is for pizza delivery, which is really a much better use.
That's funny.
Yeah. Slice was cool because it would see all the receipts, you know, and if you had everything going through Gmail, as I did at the time, I don't anymore, but at the time, it was not the same thing. I used to use a lot of things like that. TripIt used to scan my Gmail for trip planning.
Yeah.
I loved the idea that would just kind of automatically do all that. But then I found out, I realized that they were using that information. They were looking at all my emails and selling the marketing information, not just from the delivery ones, but everything else. Now I just have a kind of ad hoc where I have a FedEx account, a UPS account, and I just say, text me if the package is on the way. But it doesn't happen all the time. Same thing with Amazon. I say, yeah, send me texts when the package is on its way.
Yeah, that works pretty well,
too. Yeah, gosh, I get so many deliveries nowadays.
So you get a lot of texts.
I don't. And if I used Deliver, I would get
so many notifications. Yeah.
It'd be less useful. Show us your dock.
Yeah. So the dock is the last part. Slack is on my dock.
We should talk about what does the dock mean to you?
Ah, so the dock for me, it used to mean, these are the apps that I use more than any other app.
Because they're the ones that are always on the screen, no matter what page you're on.
I swipe to, they're there. However, when I started to consider how I use my device in my hand, then it sort of shaped the way that I started organizing things. And instead of it being the apps that I use the most, it's more the apps that I want to be able to access no matter where I am or what I'm doing on my phone. And so those are sort of the productivity apps. Those are the apps where, for example, mail, I'm checking my mail or Safari, the browser. It just needs to be available no matter where I am on my phone, even though it is a bit of a reach to go down that far and get to it. Those are the ones that need to be able to be available at all times. I'm curious whenever we get to yours, how you feel about the dock, but Slack is my first one. It's on the bottom left. This is the one that I use for work, but I also use for fun, so to speak. So I've got,
yes. By the way, I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
Exactly. It's also the place where I have, like the Relay FM network has a Slack of which I'm a part.
So you have other people besides just Twit on your Slack.
I do, yeah. So each of those groups, some of them are for podcast stuff. Some of them are just friends. And some people use a Discord server or, I don't know, an iMessage conversation. But Slack is really the place where a lot of my internet friend communication takes place, even outside of work. So, yeah, Slack is the communication app for all things for me, depending on who I'm talking to.
I wish, remember in the old days we had programs like Pigeon and what was the different names? There was one, because we had this problem in the early days of instant messaging where you would have an AIM account and an ICQ account. You'd have accounts on money. So you had one app. Pigeon was my favorite, where you could get them all. We need that, because now I have a whole folder of messaging apps.
Yeah, and everybody's messaging you in different
places. It's just, it's not
ideal. Oh, that would be really nice to just have one messaging app to rule them all. One messaging app to find them. One messaging app to bring them all in the darkness, bind them.
The problem is, and the reason this didn't, yes. Well, it was really Sauron who said it.
No, actually it was Sauron's monster.
Sauron's monster. Thank you. I don't know. It's on the ring. That's all I know. It was probably some elf, really. Let's be honest. The reason that doesn't happen, and the reason those apps went away, is because in the early days there were APIs for all these different messaging platforms. They didn't mind. They wanted to interoperate. Then they realized, wait a minute. No, we want to lock people in. So there's no way you can share Facebook Messenger with another app anymore, because Facebook says, no, you got to have the Messenger app. In fact, I recently reinstalled, just during the COVID crisis, I reinstalled Facebook and Instagram to keep in touch with friends and family. And I noticed when you put it on your iPhone, they make you install the Messenger app.
It's terrible.
You can't get messages in Facebook anymore.
Nope. They make you get Messenger. I think it's very evil. I think it's entirely evil. I agree. And I thought, I know that's been the ongoing joke, but
that's the other one. Trillion was very popular in Windows.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you meant a person who was an elf. No. You're going back to the elf reference. No, that's Buddy.
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 Buddy. Buddy the elf.
What's your favorite color?
The elf on the shelf. Well, what's this? What's this weird? Okay, there's a. Okay, go on.
Safari go is on. The next one. Obviously,
Safari, I know. Everybody knows that one.
Who knows that?
But what's the that weird one next to that?
That's Airmail. So I was a Spark email user for a little while when Airmail went to a subscription model. But I got Airmail again because I just missed it. Airmail is a very powerful mail application because it has integrations with so many different services. It lets you connect to deliveries very easily. It lets you integrate with Google Docs. It's a very powerful platform that makes extensibility possible to a number of different platforms. Your note-taking app, whatever that might be, your to-do app, your calendar app. So it works well with Fantastical for quickly adding events from the calendar from your email to the calendar. It's just very, very good at what it does. And so I went back to it, even though I stepped away for a while. I missed it. Missed it so much. So I had to come back. Exactly. So Airmail is my baby there. And it's in the dock because I use it all the time, obviously, for checking my email and tracking it. You notice there are no badges on this home screen.
Yes.
I don't. The only thing that gets a badge is messages. Messages gets a badge, but everything else is badgeless because, I'm with you. Me no like badges.
And then the last one's Twitter.
And the last one's Twitter.
For obvious reasons. What I note something very interesting.
Okay.
No phone app and no camera app on your front page.
Correct.
What the heck? What do you... Your iPhone apparently is not neither a phone nor a camera.
It is a camera, but there are so many other ways to get to the camera rather than using the camera app.
Why put an icon on the screen, that precious real estate? So what do? Double tap the on-off switch?
No, I can get it from Control Center, which lets me do a bunch of different things.
Doesn't work.
But my favorite...
How do you get to the camera? Yeah, tell me all the ways.
It's when the phone is locked and I just tap on the camera app. That's what I do.
Because it is on the lock page.
It's on the lock screen. Yeah. And so that's what I do, is that anytime I want to get to the camera, I just quickly hit that side button to lock my phone and then tap on the camera to get to it. So it's just, again, there are other ways to get to the camera app that not taking up my 1, 2, 3, 4 by 4 dock icons.
Precious slots.
Precious slots, exactly. And then phone, people know they if they try to call me, they're not going to get through to me. So don't. Everybody knows. Don't call Mike.
Not a phone. What are you talking? Yeah. What you talking about, Willis?
To a phone number. I don't have one of those. I've got a text
the other thing
number.
I noted. You have many, many pages.
I do have many, many pages.
Is that just because you have many, many folders?
Well, it's because I got lazy after a while.
Oh, yeah. These are all things you installed for the show.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, these are all things that you would actually want to use.
Yeah.
Oh, you're one of those. Okay. So there are people when you get on the Zoom, right? Their bed is made. Their room is tidy. They look so clean and elegant. But that's because they've shoved everything in a corner. You're a corner shover. You are.
I am.
Corner shover.
I don't know if I'm proud of it, but I'm a corner shover.
Also, I noted no wallpaper.
Yeah, God, no. That would just get in the way.
Right. You're very utilitarian.
Yeah, I mean, have you seen this room?
Yeah, look at that, Spartan, except for the corner.
Yeah.
Very Spartan.
So that's my home screen, Leo Laporte. What's your home screen?
Okay, I don't have as fancy a setup as you here at the Twit Studio. All I can do is just show a home screen and it's black. But I guess John or somebody could put a two-shot it together. But this is fine. You focus on what it is. So first of all, unlike you, I'm not a corner shover. I have three pages. The front page, all the folders with actual names and categorization is on the second page. And then the third page is, you can kind of see a theme here, the security stuff, LastPass and Authy and Authenticator, ExpressVPN, the App Store. And then I have an Apple folder where all the junk from Apple that I don't use, except for Watch. I do use Watch. That's why it's the first one on the corner there. But it's like this is where I put the Stocks app.
I always feel it says something about a person where their Settings app is.
Yeah, I don't have it. Even though it may be the thing I use the most, it's not on my front page. It's on the last page. But it's not because I only have three pages, Micah Sargent. It's not hard to get to that.
I don't do the swiping. I just do the search.
I don't want to do the search. I know where everything is.
Swipe and go find. Yeah. Interesting.
I don't have to search around. I know where it is because I have audio, blog, edu, cameras, controls, food, galleries, games, health. It's, by the way, do you notice something about this? Money, photo editors,
it's
productivity.
Also
alphabetical. Security, shopping, storage, travel, TV, utilities, video, and wallet. Now, I've used these categories for so long because not every, you know, I mean, what is productivity? Well, pretty much that's a catch-all for everything. So
yeah, apps,
that's, but so I do have to know.
What's Bond?
Oh, it's a program I never use, but I pay $5 a month for. You have some of those?
I've got a couple in there. Maybe not five a month.
I'll send you a Bond note. It makes handwritten note cards, but it's on a computer. So it looks like you actually took the time to handwrite a note, but it's using one of those auto pen things that the presidents use to sign stuff.
Oh, that's vicious.
And I pay $5 a month, so I probably now have hundreds of thank you notes I could write if I would just remember to do that. There's stuff on here I should clean up. For instance, TaskAid, which is a great free to-do app.
Weird icon.
I used to use all the time. You have the little sheep. You like the sheep? I used to use it all the time, but I don't use it anymore. So I should probably delete it. See, I'm not even signed in.
Oh, look, it's old school too.
What do you mean old school?
It looks like the scaling is off, so it looks like it hasn't been updated.
No, this is actually a great, if you're looking for a to-do manager, it's definitely one to think about. But let me go back to my front page. So the first thing you'll notice is I have moved almost all the standard Apple apps off. They're gone. Clock, there's no good replacement for Clock. And I use that a lot, by the way, to time commercials, to set alarms. I don't use the bedtime feature. I probably should. I like this feature.
A quick mention there is that I have an episode of Hands on iOS where I explain everything about the clock and all of its features, including bedtime. So check
it's
that
out. It's actually quite a nice little app. So, and I found no third-party replacement that's better. The other one I have on here, of course, is Safari. And Safari is, I was just looking up FlexiBits. Coincidentally, Safari is, I have other browsers, but my app cap will tell you why I continue to use Safari. I used to use Firefox Focus and other, more privacy focused browsers, but I'll explain that in a little bit. Instead of weather, this used to be Dark Sky. Now it's Snowflake, which was an app cap.
I remember that. Yeah.
It's really nice weather app, $5 a year. They do use the Dark Sky API, so they're going to have to, you know, but they also offer AccuWeather, the weather company, if you're
in Canada.
Oh,
it looks like you already changed it, yeah.
Yeah, I actually just chose automatic, and that's the weather company, the IBM.
Oh, I see.
I prefer Dark Sky, but, and in fact, I preferred the app. But if you're a Dark Sky fan, this is a very credible alternative to it. And really, it's for people who are weather nerds. I mean, look at the detail. It's cray-cray. So, you know, and I like the forecast because it says abundant sunshine today, winds west northwest at 10 to 15 miles an hour, 10% chance of rain, 76 the high, 45 the low. You really get a lot of information. Dew point, you know.
What's civil? What's that mean?
Civil is so these are different. Sunrise and sunset have different meanings depending on.
You know, so whether it's nautical sunrise.
It's a little earlier than the normal sunrise, and civil is as well.
And I guess, it's moonrise. The second one is moonrise.
Yeah, moonrise. Sun, moon, civil, nautical, and astronomical.
Interesting.
Yeah, I have no idea. But anyway, twilight. Twilight is at 8:13. There you go. Just so you know. Just so's you know. So that's Snowflake. Snowflake weather. Love it. A lot of detail. A very credible replacement for Dark Sky. You see, like you, I'm using Fantastical, and I let Fantastical badge because it puts the date. And if you're not using Apple's, the only reason you use Apple's calendar is it's the date. Then with the clock and the date, you have a date and time on your front. Otherwise, you don't. So I let it use the badge for the date. I wish this is one of many
complaints.
Hopefully
we'll get widgets.
Oh, my God. Just one of many complaints I have about the iPhone interface. And yet, it's the phone I use because I feel safe and private with it. But boy, they really need to update it. And I'm hoping, iOS 14, we might get real widgets. Card Hop replaces the contacts. And this is from the same folks. This is from FlexiBits. And so it's a very nice contact app that does a lot of things I really like. Just slightly better, I guess. I mean, contacts is fine, but this is slightly better. For to-do, I use AnyDo, and we talked about this before. This was one of my picks, and the reason is the AnyDo app can be spoken to using Google. You can have to-dos go directly to AnyDo, so I like that feature.
It also seems to have good sharing, and then I loved how it automatically organizes grocery stuff
grocery lists. Yeah.
Categories.
And here's my grocery list. And by the way, and I obviously have nothing to shop for since I don't go to the store anymore. The other thing I really like about AnyDo is there's a desktop app for Mac, for Windows, for iOS. There's a web page that effectively is a progressive web app. So AnyDo is really, for me, it's really important everything be cross-platform. I got to have cross-platform because I use all different operating systems. AnyDo is also on Android. Canary is my email. This is a Mac-only tool. And it's the reason I use Canary is because besides being a nice email client, it's not as pretty as Airmail, but it supports, which I really like, it supports PGP encryption and signing.
Gotcha.
And I try to sign all my emails so that if people get email from me, they know that it's, here, I'll show you when I start.
That reminds me, I need to ask you to help me figure, I don't know how to generate a key. Yeah, I'd love to know that.
I'll help you set that up. So this is, when I send an email out, you see this little padlock here. It's automatically signed with my PGP key. That way people can validate the email, not only that I sent it, but that it was unmodified on the way because the key also has the contents of the mail. And if I'm talking to somebody that I can encrypt with, that's handy. So very nice. You see, it also, when I start a message, it knows who I send messages to a lot. So it offered me some standard people. I'll throw that one out. So Canary Mail, there's a lot of nice features to this. I don't think it's free. Safari, you know about. Notion, we've talked about before. We're using Notion more and more. This is probably the most amazing note-taking tool I've ever used. Just fantastic. And, of course, because it has desktop apps, it has a web app, I can use it. It's pretty. has lots of great content and features, database features and so forth. And I can set up, this is my COVID page where I have my temperature readings, my journal for plague year.
Now, is that automatic?
No, it's hand entered. You know, someday they keep promising when we talk to them, I'm going to ask them. It's the first question. Where's the API? At some point, this really will take off. Notion will really take off when there's an API. So things like that can be automated. This is an embedded web page, the Sonoma County. That's why it doesn't look so great on such a small screen. But this is a very, so this is always up to date. So yeah, you can embed things. In fact, as you can see down here, I've got YouTube videos embedded that just play right inside. Well, maybe they don't. Huh. They play right inside the... I see. I'm airplaying. That's why I didn't like the other one.
Yeah,
So that's Notion. Highly recommended. Free for basic use, $4 a month, $48 a year. For unlimited use, I think it's the best thing ever. And any Notion page can be made a public web page. So I've done that with a few of my pages. People were asking me, because I was using the Steve Gibson vitamin method, they were saying, mm-hmm. what vitamins do you use? So I published this page as a public page so that I could just send them a link, which makes it a lot easier. So just having that capability, I think, you know, I needed to record this for my doctor and others, you know, what vitamins that I take, what dosages I take. And I put, you know, you can embed pictures of the vitamins in there. It's fairly easy to do that. But I wanted to be able to share it. So there's a setting up here. If you hit the menu page, you can lock a page so it can't be modified. That's very handy. And then you can make a link. And so you can actually set it to be a public page and then send people the link. It's a long link, but you can make a URL shortener version of it. So that's kind of fun. That's Notion. I should go on, and I will another time. I have Apple Photos on my front page. I was surprised you didn't, but then again, you don't have the camera on there either. And I have Google Photos as the two galleries I use. The reason Google Photos is on the front page is it has to be open periodically to copy the photos up to Google. You want to see a picture of... why is it looking like that? That's not what I'm seeing. There's my son. He's an Italian playboy, just back from Italy. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know why this doesn't airplay very well. That's really, I'll show you what it looks like.
I think Google Photos is trying to be smart about things, and it's saying, are you trying to share a video stream?
So that's what I'm seeing.
Interesting, yeah.
Isn't
I think
that
it's
weird?
Automatically kind of putting it up in view mode. Yeah. So if you... Yeah, like, check out my recent trip. You can easily do that by airplane.
Okay, whatever, Googs. Now, you had music on your front page. When I'm listening, I'm almost always listening to audiobooks. So Audible's on my front page, and then Downpour, which is another audiobook service.
I was going to ask about Downpour. I was curious.
Yeah.
So
it's just another one. One of the reasons, the only thing that Downpour's app is not as good. But the only reason I like Downpour is because you can get unencrypted books. Not all the books, but some of the books are unencrypted there, which means my friend Cory Doctorow, who doesn't want his books, audiobooks, to be sold encrypted, only is on Downpour. He's not on Audible. So that's a reason, you know, I have to segregate the two. So what I try to do is put classics that I'm always going to want on my Downpour, because I own them in a way, because I can download it and play it with another, you know, device. So the long, I kind of try to keep classics on here. And then Audible is this, I mean, I have far more books on Audible. I have a lifetime supply of books.
Yeah, same. Goodness.
And I'm way behind. So this goes on and on and on and on. But that's nice. I mean, if I ever get stuck on a desert island, I'll have Audible. Just like you, Pocket Cast is up there too. So you can see, spoken word content for me is what I listen to mostly. Music goes in the folder music, and that has, I'm sorry. That's not music. That's maps. I apologize. So you see, I have Apple Maps, Google Maps, Waze, and I added City Mapper. That's getting less and less important, but that's the one that lets you use do mapping of cities where you can do mass transit. But now that information's on Google Maps, it's probably less useful. That's my music folder. Apple Music's there. So is YouTube Music. Google has now replaced Google Music with YouTube Music. They just did that over the weekend. Prime Phonic, we've talked about that before for classical. Vox, I love. Everybody should have Vox. It is a high-resolution music player on iOS and macOS, and they even let you store your music up there. So I'm a big fan. I love this. Billy the Kid, my favorite Western ballet. This is my music is in Vox. Sonos, of course, because I have to control my Sonos player. Pandora, sometimes you want radio. iHeart, because I work for them. And then that's the Boom. That's that Brian Eno app, which
talked
about a couple of weeks ago. News has its own folder. So you see, I really do name the folders. Mm-hmm. And the reason is I know I'm open up my phone. I say, oh, I want the news. I know I can jump right into the news. And unlike you, when I use the phone, I'm a two-hander. So okay. I hold it in my right hand and I point with my left hand. So the position on the screen for me is not as important as it is for you. I'm not trying to do this.
Gotcha.
So news, the one I go to right away is Google News.
I was curious which
there's
one.
There's no Apple News on there.
Yeah, see, that's my baby.
I hate Apple News. I hate it. You can't link out of it. If I send you a link, you have to open it in Apple News. That's nuts. This is one of the things I like about Google News. They pick the top five stories based on what you've read in the past and your interest. But they also have a completely unedited version of the headline. So you can get it from every source if you say view full coverage. So they have both editorial decisions and non-editorial decisions. So to me, Apple News is way too opinionated about the news. So I don't like the choices. I don't like you can't link out. New York Times, Wall Street Journal are also there. This is NetNewsWire. Brett Simmons, great newsreader. He sold it. They sold it back to him. He's brought it back. It's a free newsreader. So this has gone back. This is brand new back to my my iPhone because it's just a great newsreader. It's RSS feeds. And one of the things I have to do is keep track of the, you know, latest tech news. So that's right up there. New Yorker, I read it. I don't like to read stuff on my iPhone, but occasionally, you know, I want to read an article. It's nice to have the New Yorker there. They have great both fiction and nonfiction. TuneIn Radio is my general choice for things like streaming. I can listen to streaming news, for instance. I can listen to Twit Live. I can listen to radio stations. I can also listen to podcasts. Look, Smart Tech Today. That's one of my favorite old podcasts right there.
Smart Tech Today, Matthew Cassinelli and I are back.
Isn't that nice? So, and I pay for TuneIn Pro. I really like TuneIn Pro. To me, the $100 a year is well worth it. This is something people probably aren't well aware of. I subscribe to you know about it, I guess.
No, I just saw that and thought, that's interesting.
Jessica Lessons, the information is, I think, really, it's a paid, it's expensive, it's $400 a year, but it's some of the best tech reporting out there. Many of the stories we talk about are originated at the information. So they made a little app, which I think is a clever app. It's just the top 10 stories in tech right now.
Now, do you have to have a subscription for this?
Probably not to get the app. Probably if you want to read the full story, yes.
Gotcha.
But I don't, you know, that's a good question. I don't know. I really think that this is I want to support Jessica because I think what she's doing is really important. And this isn't the best app in the world, but it's a pretty nice app. And they have their own podcast. So they've put that in there. But I just love the idea of having just the top 10 news stories that I can just go to right away. That's extremely handy. So that's top 10 CNN. And then I have a second page with NBC, CBS.
Oh, wow. Apple News is literally not anywhere on your...
You know, I have a folder for that back here in the Apple junk pile.
Your crap folder.
The crap folder.
Wait, you don't even have it there either.
Where is Apple News? I
think you deleted it.
I must have deleted it.
Wow, you really hated it.
It's unusable. I pay for it because Lisa wants the magazine. So, that's for her, not for me. I'm going to move quickly because we're going long here. This is the social folder. Obvious, all the obvious things. For Reddit, I don't use the Reddit app. I use an app.
I
really
love Apollo.
Yeah, called Apollo. Really good choice.
Oh, great.
So usually when I'm, this is the folder I go to when I wake up in the middle of the night. I'll read Reddit. I might look at Instagram. I might look at our Twit community, the forums.
What's a Threader?
Threader is kind of a hand. No, this is good. Ask me. This is a, so there isn't really a great Twitter app for iOS. I'm a TweetDeck fan on the desktop. I wish there were. I wish TweetDeck were still around for iOS. So I have to use the, and this is what Twitter wants, the traditional Twitter app, which is a crappy way to read Twitter. But Threader is kind of cool because if so, you know how people, and I don't know why they do this, do those 23 tweet things.
Yes.
Threader consolidates them into what it should have been in the first place, which is an article.
Ah. So these are, it's a thread grouping.
Thread
app.
Grouping. And you can request, if somebody isn't already requested it, you can request that if you're reading a thread, say this should be on Threader, there's a simple thing you just add Threader app and they'll turn it into a thread. But they also have the top, these are the top threads from yesterday.
Okay, so these are based on what, like trending and what people are favoriting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
and then
cool.
You can pay and get even more. But this is such a time saver for people because I hate threads. I really do. But especially now as we're trying to keep up on COVID, I follow Jeff Jarvis's COVID list. So for some reason, people persist in trying to post what should be an article as a series of tweets on Twitter. It baffles me. I don't get it at all, but Threader solves that problem.
LinkedIn, can I ask on Apollo or on Reddit, can you share some of your favorite, I don't even know what they're called. I don't really use Reddit except once in a blue moon.
They're called subreddits.
Yeah. What are your some of your favorite subreddits where you get new information or that you just enjoy?
Make sure that I'm
make sure you're
somewhere good. Yeah. Because there are, this is the problem with Reddit, is there are the content on Reddit can vary wildly. Some of it's really good and some of it's not so good. So there's the photography thread. I follow that. Notion has an excellent subreddit. So it's reddit.com/r/, in this case, Notion SO, because that's their full, there's another Notion, I guess. Manjaro Linux, the Linux I use. Here's /r/politics. /r/coronavirus, which, by the way, kudos to Reddit. This has become an excellent place for quality information, not bogus information. The moderators in the /r/coronavirus are very, very, very good. And so what you get here is stuff that you can trust, not, you know, bogus therapies or silver you should drink. I think people sometimes think Reddit isn't a very good place for that kind of stuff. But it is if you're in a well-moderated subreddit. It really depends on the moderators and the standards for the subreddit. Self-hosted for people who do their own hosting. It's a great geek one. I'm a fan of the Clojure language. In fact, I follow a number of languages on here. Ubuntu, Linux, Mac OS. This is a great one. There's also an iOS. Racket's another language I'm a fan of.
Do you follow any of the sort of like learn something new today or I don't know, first time ever?
A few of them. I wonder if
not really your space though.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if there's a way to list. Yeah. This is the listing. So before that was subreddits, which you can subscribe to groups. People can make a subreddit. Here's the ones for which I'm a moderator, but people can make a subreddit that is a combination of multiple Reddits. So it's worth checking those out because there might be a tech subreddit, for instance, that has 20 different other Reddit groups in it. These are the ones I moderate, or in theory, I'm moderator of. That's our shows. And here's the ones I subscribe to. And you can see there's I subscribe to quite a few. There's Cord Cutters. Life Hacks is a good one. One of my favorites, Maybe, Maybe, Maybe. There's a couple of subreddits. There's yes, 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 and no, no, no. And yes, yes, yes always ends well. No, no, no always ends badly. But the name of the group tells you what you're going to see. Maybe, maybe, maybe combines yes, 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 and no, no, no. So you don't know how it's going to end.
Oh,
sometimes it ends well. Sometimes it doesn't. This is a really old one.
Can you do it, Kitty?
Yeah. Oh. I don't know why Super Mario's having a cat jump through a hoop, but so these are fun because you don't. I don't know what's happening. Okay, let me go back and you can watch this on the big screen. My dad is a professor, so I thought I'd give his students a laugh. Oh, he's trying to teach. So the kid is walking by first as a surfer, then as a graduate. So when I need some entertainment.
Does his dad not recognize?
Apparently dad doesn't know what's going on.
Oh, he's probably screen sharing.
Yeah, maybe is a great, is a great place to go. Now he's an explorer. The dad seems completely clueless. Yeah, he doesn't know what's going on.
Oh,
now he's got a hunting bow and he's going hunting. This is the kind of thing I would do.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so he's Zoom bombing in real life his father's Zoom class. Oh, ninja. Oh, somebody let him in on it. He shot the ninja. So that's why it's maybe. You don't know how it's going to end, do you?
Oh, I'm going to have to follow that. That's funny.
I love maybe. You know, Reddit is one of those things that on first glance, you might say, oh, that's terrible. But really, if you follow the right subreddits, it's much like Twitter. There's really good stuff. Photography's great. Privacy tools, IO, I follow that because those are the real paranoid ones. And I like to read what people are really worried about. Self-driving cars. Another one for people who are really paranoid, Stallman Was Right, in which they're constantly berating. There's Shoshana Zuboff, berating big tech for invading our privacy. There's a very good tech news one and technology. This is one that you would like. Today I Learned, TIL. And these are well-known, in many cases, factoids that people have suddenly themselves cottoned to, and they have to run to TIL and say, did you know? And half the time I know it, but half the time I don't. And it's always fun. It's not always new.
So it's a maybe of its own.
Maybe. You never know what you're going to get. So I'm moving quickly now. Messaging. The only, you were right about notifications. I have a handful of places with notifications. To-do lists. Only one messaging app, Slack, because that's how
I think I have that one
for work.
On too,
But I use FaceTime and Google Duo. My daughter's Android, so I have to use Google Duo with her. Signal, the only truly safe and secure messaging system out there. Facebook Messenger. Can't wait to delete that.
Evil.
I'll know COVID's over when Facebook is gone. Skype, Telegram. I like Telegram, but it's not fully secure. Snapchat. Jammy is a kind of...
Jammy.
Jammy's a Zoom, another open source Zoom replacement. We mentioned Drafts before. That's got to be on my front screen so I can quickly enter text. Keybase, I've also mentioned before, is a really great way to... In fact, when we get your PGP key all set up, we'll put it in here in Keybase so people can follow you, know when your key's changed. But also, there's completely secure chat. I mean, totally secure. You can have secure web pages. I also use it for Git. There's a lot of... You can have team chat like Slack. Keybase is free and is an amazing service. I just really honor them. There's my Kinsa app. I don't have the health app on the front page, but I have Kinsa and Aura. Both of these are... Kinsa's measuring my temperature. Aura's measuring my sleep. You want to see how bad my sleep was? 68 is my readiness, which means my sleep score is probably terrible. Let's see my sleep
score. Sleepless night, question mark?
I 56. My sleep score.
5 hours only?
But I went to bed at 10:44 and got up at 6:14, so I was in bed for more than 7 hours, 7.5 hours. But I guess a lot of wakefulness, I don't know. And then they give you like things like, okay, well, you didn't sleep that well, but today's a new day.
This is why people can't sleep.
I don't want to know this stuff. I don't. I really don't. My readiness, though, is valuable. And the main reason I do this is to track my body temperature. So I forgot to put the ring on last night, so it doesn't have the temperature from yesterday. But this is valuable to know because as your temperature goes up, it means something's going on. Could just be stress, but it could also be illness. So in addition to the Kinsa daily temperature measurement, this is a constant tracking. And what it's showing is the change. So I'm up a little bit, but it's not significantly up. It's up half a degree. respiratory rate. You've talked about heart rate variability. Mine isn't as good as it ought to be. You know, the more variable, the better. It should be up here around 40. It's not, but I'm an old man. What do you want? What do you want?
What do you want from me?
I don't know. Finally, let me show you Jitsi Meat. Jitsi is the replacement, I think a very good replacement, for Zoom. It's free. It's open source. I'm going to log in here, so let me hide my thing. So I've created a Jitsi, and we can have my family meets in there. I had a long conversation with my daughter. I shared a YouTube video with her in there. You could do screen sharing. I'm a fan of Jitsi, and I run my own server out of the house, so it's completely private, end-to-end encrypted, and the only place it's decrypted is at my house. I just think Jitsi is a great solution. That's why, as you can see, a number of the things on my front page, in fact, this whole bottom row, are more about COVID than anything else. They're more about the right. current situation. So that front row may change. The dock, phone, and camera. Why wouldn't you have them? Apple Messages, too. The only deviation is instead of Safari being there, that's the default dock, I have Google Hangouts because I still have some Android. I still use Android, so I can't use Messages on Android. Although I do use something called Air Messages. It sort of works, but Hangouts works everywhere. So I have a Google Voice number. And
I thought they were getting rid of Hangouts. Is it just not
for Google Fi users? For Google Fi users, they're still using it as their one of their messaging platforms. I'll be sad because right now Hangouts is the only program I can use. It's on iOS, Android, macOS, Windows, and Linux. And so, and it's tied to my Google Fi number, which is my number I give out. So text messages to me go everywhere I am. That is a great feature. I'm not Apple only. And if I were Apple only, I'd use Messages. It'd be fine, but I'm not. And then I do have the camera on the front page. You see, I have all my folders here, and then I have the security and the settings and the stuff like that there. So that's my homepage. It's a little different on the iPad, actually. You didn't show your iPad. But because I have weather, calendar, and all that, I can in the sidebar, I don't have to pay attention to that so much. And I use the Mac differently, like Kindle's on the front page because I read. My photo editing stuff's on the front page because I do photo editing on here. I have a terminal program on here. Well, let me log in, which is awesome. There's our chat room, which is running is actually not running on the iPad. It's running on my server at home, and this terminal program is logged in via SSH to my server at home, and there's the chat room. So using WeChat. Nice. So this is a very different tool for me. And when we get the new keyboard, it'll be even more different. You know, I don't want to do crossword puzzles on my phone. I do sometimes, but I much prefer to do it on iPad is a great crossword puzzle platform. So it's kind of different. Lightroom's on here. Notion is really nice on the iPad. I think it's a great choice. Here's all the messaging programs. And I do have Apple Music on the front page here because I tend to listen to music more on my iPad. But, of course, Audible is here too. So, enough. We've gone on and on. Let's take a break. I apologize.
All right.
I showed you two desktops. You've only shown me one. You owe
I'm
me.
I'm sorry.
You owe me.
You owe home screen glass.
All right, we're going to get to the news and the questions in just a second, plus our app caps. I'm very excited about my app cap. I have a lot to say about that, so I want to leave some time for that. But first, a word about VPNing. You know you've got to protect yourself when you're online. And I don't just mean when you're out and about at a coffee shop. We don't do that much anymore. These days, we spend a lot of time online at home. You know your ISP can see everything you're doing. And many ISPs, I almost say most ISPs, will log it and maybe even sell it. There's even some evil ISPs that will inject ads into your stream. A VPN belongs everywhere you are. And ExpressVPN is so fast, so easy to use, it doesn't hinder. In the past, I've been reluctant to use VPNs unless I were out and about, like at home or at work, because I didn't want to get slowed down, not ExpressVPN. It's so fast. You actually play HD video with ExpressVPN, which is one reason. Another reason you might want to use it. ExpressVPN lets you emerge into any country. They have almost 100 different countries available, servers all over the world. And that means if you're running out of shows to watch, as many of us are, you can use ExpressVPN to see shows in other countries. For instance, Netflix subscriber, I am. Maybe you've seen all the good stuff on Netflix. I wouldn't be surprised. Fire up Netflix, then fire up ExpressVPN. Say, I want to use the server in London. Now you're in the UK. And when you refresh Netflix, you're going to see the shows available only in the UK, including Doctor Who and Star Trek. In the UK, Canada, you can use Netflix Canada. You like anime? Netflix Japan. Just press the button and ExpressVPN. You're in Japan. Now you can watch all, so many great anime series and movies. It's fantastic. Doctor Who on Netflix UK. I think ExpressVPN is a great solution for your privacy. Yes. For your security. Absolutely. But also for watching more TV. ExpressVPN is so fast, and so easy to use. And it's, by the way, it's not just Netflix. It works with almost all the streaming services, Hulu, BBC's iPlayer, YouTube. So, you know, travel the weekend. We're stuck at home, but you can still travel the world with ExpressVPN. And by the way, iOS, yes. Android, yes. Windows and Mac, yes. But also many media consoles, smart TVs, everywhere that you would be watching content, ExpressVPN's there. One button takes you to another place in the world. You can watch what you go on the big screen, on your phone, wherever you want. If you want to try it, I think you should go to expressvpn.com/iOS today. There are absolutely less expensive, even free VPN providers. I would submit that's a bad idea because if a VPN provider is free, they're making money somehow. It's expensive to run a VPN. ExpressVPN does something really cool, too. They have something they call the trusted server technology. When you turn on ExpressVPN, it spins up a server in the country of your choice. Usually, you're going to pick the place closest to you, but you could pick anywhere. It'll spin up that server. It runs out of RAM, does not access the hard drive, can't access the hard drive, can't log anything you do. And when you log out, when you close ExpressVPN, that trusted server goes away. No trace, no footsteps left behind of your visit to ExpressVPN. It is total privacy, even from ExpressVPN. I love that. And by the way, they've had third-party audits, so you know you can trust them. And you will use it all the time. Go to expressvpn.com/iOS today. You're going to get an extra 3 months when you sign up for a year. That's the best deal. expressvpn.com/iOS today. Support the show. Watch what you want. Protect yourself. expressvpn.com/iOS today. And now, Micah and Sargent now, with the news.
For the news. Up first, we have, let me go back to the right place in the document here. This is actually just freshly out.
Fresh news.
And that is that Apple has released a press release talking about how it's making mobility data available to aid COVID-19 efforts. So this is navigation data that they've sort of aggregated within Apple Maps to talk about how mobility is trending for different regions in this crisis. So it shows the sort of baseline mobility trend and then shows from January to now how that has trended down. It's about minus 87% in Italy, minus 76% in the UK, and the US comes in at about minus 63%. What's interesting is that they continue to update this, and it's available via CSV, so comma separated value document that includes. And here we'll go show you the.
So presumably, health officials would use this to kind of understand what's going on.
Exactly. So. Yeah. Changes in requests for directions by transportation type for all available countries and regions. That's the information that they're sharing.
What's
there.
What's nice is you can trust Apple like fuzzy to completely anonymize this, which is really great. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they've got there, including some more information. The data is generated by counting the number of requests made to Apple Maps for directions in select countries and blah, blah, blah. Data that is sent from users' devices to the map service is associated with random rotating identifiers, so Apple doesn't have a profile of your movements and searches. Data availability is subject to a number of factors, including minimum thresholds for direction requests made per day.
Let me open it up on this page because your screen, your bandwidth is done.
Yeah, I know. I'm
You're
dying
really
out.
Fuzzy. I think that's cool. Apple's doing a lot to try to, you know, help with all of this, at least as much as they can. You know, we talked last week about making protective masks and 20 million N95 masks, sending them to hospitals. I think this is great. And what I do like is this data, as valuable as it is, Apple really is good at protecting privacy. So I feel safe knowing that Apple's going to absolutely use their differential privacy and their anonymization techniques to protect you. So I think that's great.
Agreed. Up next, Apple Maps is going to display COVID-19 testing locations.
I love this.
So, yeah, this is fantastic. It means that you can launch Apple Maps and be able to find these locations. Now, they've made it so that providers, they just download a template, they fill that template out, and then they submit it to Apple. There's a page, basically a landing page, where Apple's made this easy, and then you go in and can submit that information. This is something that Google Maps is doing as well. I imagine that all mapping services, of which Google and Apple are kind of the big ones, are providing. And so it's good to have that information available to where you can easily go, okay, I need to get tested. Where do I go do that? And from what I've been able to see, it integrates with Apple's COVID-19 app that they created.
Nice.
So you can jump from one to the other and easily find that information.
Close your browser, because I think that this started when you opened your browser to start showing those screens. And I'll show the screens.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I will do that.
Yeah. Could also just be the guy next door who's decided that he's going to download the all versions of Star Trek.
It's time for him to start watching that Tiger King episode, the follow-up episode or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Quibi!
Yeah.
We showed Quibi last week. Have you watched any more?
I've watched, it was just the two, the Chrissy Teigen and Chance, the rapper shows. But I really want to watch the Haunted House one that you mentioned.
Murder House. Yeah.
Yeah.
I deleted Quibi after we did our Quibi thing. I deleted it. I realized, I'm never going to watch this again. And I don't want, I know I get 3 free months, but I didn't want to pay for the subscription. One thing I got to commend Apple for, when you delete something like that that's tied to a subscription, it says, do you want to manage this subscription so you don't accidentally forget? So I canceled the subscription too, but you're going to keep it.
For now, I'm going to use it for the 3 months for sure. In fact, one of the things that Meg Whitman, CEO, was talking about with it is that it's reached 1.7 million downloads in the first
Amazing.
Week. And originally, the messaging there was that they were not going to be offering this as a platform to let you cast from your device to a television, that it was sort of mobile first, mobile only kind of experience. Well, they are now, what they say, accelerating plans to cast the video to the TVs because of the COVID-19 stuff that's going on. So
this was,
I find that interesting.
This was on the Squawk Box on the Squawk on the Street, I guess they call it, on CNBC. And she admitted that they were a little concerned releasing during COVID because the whole point of this was you'd watch it on mass transit. You'd watch it while waiting in line somewhere. And, as she says, it turns out people have those in-between moments, even at home. We don't actually think it hurt us. So, okay. All right. Maybe it's a free 90-day period. We'll see. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. I really did enjoy Dishmantled because it's fun to watch food being fired at people. But it felt a little insensitive during the COVID crisis, where people are finding it hard to find food, to shoot food at people. And that's the problem. This was all planned, as was most of life, before we knew about quarantining and sheltering in place and wearing face masks, mm-hmm. and before the economy tanked. And so times have changed a little bit. But Quibi, 1.7 million downloads, that's pretty good. We'll see. 3 months from now is going to be the big turn, question mark, the big turn.
Yeah. So next thing, this is
I would love it if you could, oh my God, I look great. I look so fuzzy. But if you could explain a little bit to me, because I still don't understand. I've read the stuff about what Apple and Google are working on to make a coronavirus tracking system that uses Bluetooth LE, I believe, to do some handshakes and fist bumps and whatever else. How does this tracking system work? How does it keep privacy in place? And then you included a link it's a thread from Moxie Marlin Spike, I think. And it kind of talks about some of the caveats, potential issues with this contact tracing system.
Yeah, Moxie is very well-known security guy. He created the Open Whisper systems in the Signal protocol. The Signal Messenger, he is... you know, absolutely respectable. And he talked a little bit about the system. So just explain how the system works. It uses Bluetooth LE. So, you know, for instance, when you take your Apple Pencil, you don't have to pair it. You don't have to explicitly right. glow into the settings and say, search for Bluetooth devices. And it just knows. Mm-hmm. That's Bluetooth LE, low energy. It's a quick Bluetooth that doesn't require special pairing. It's kind of related. You may remember we talked a lot about Apple's beacons and the beaconing system. It's a very similar, in fact, it might even be identical system to Apple's beaconing system. So the idea is a device can say, I'm here. Another device can say, I see you. They can exchange information all without you doing anything. So the way this system works, and it's Google and Apple who have put this together, and there's a couple of problems, which Moxie's going to talk about in a second, but I'll give you how Google and Apple say it's supposed to work. Every day, your device, and there's going to be an iOS and Android version of this. Actually, to be clear, Apple and Google aren't making apps for this. They're making an API, a system, and they expect health authorities to make an app. So let's say there's a California state COVID tracking app. It would be voluntary. You download it voluntarily. There'll be lots of privacy statements in it and lots of caveats and so forth, which you'll have to click through. Mm-hmm. Once you've got it running, if you agree to everything, every day a unique identifier will be generated on your phone. That's you. And as you walk around, your phone will also generate a new tracking ID every 15 minutes that combines your location with your identifier. As you walk around, everybody you run into, if they're running the program and they've agreed to all this, you will capture that 15-minute tracking identifier. So at the end of the day, you'll have a whole, if you've been busy shopping and stuff, you'll have a whole bunch of data about the people you've run into. Now, if you test positive, all of a sudden that becomes really important because then you can say, all right, I tested positive. Who are the people I ran into over the last whatever time frame, 2, 3, 4 days, whatever the doctor says or the health officials say? You need to tell us everybody you had contact with over the last few days. Well, that's on the phone in these IDs, and the IDs are tied to location, time of day, and that person's identifier. Now, what's unclear is the system then that happens. Somehow the health officials will then be able to get information, probably through Google or Apple, to those people saying, you've been in contact in the last 3 days with somebody who's tested positive for COVID. You need to go self-quarantine for 14 days to see if you got infected. This is one of the only ways we can get out of shelter in place. At some point, we're going to come out of our dens, rubbing our eyes, blinking, saying we're out in the real world again. That point will happen when there are no more cases of coronavirus in your neck of the woods. But of course, people travel in this country. They go around. So it's presumed new cases will come in. The key to staying safe is that we are able to identify those quickly, quarantine that person, and quarantine everybody they've met. That's called containment. And it means the rest of us can still go about our business. Remember, we're going to emerge from our shelter in place with no immunity. Only right. 5% of the population will have gotten coronavirus by that time. So we'll all be vulnerable to it still. There won't be a vaccine for another year or so. So that's what health officials are wondering. How are we going to contain this and still have life go on? And it requires that kind of testing and tracking and quarantining. So Apple and Google are proposing a framework for that. But as Moxie points out, there are some real problems with this. And it's not a privacy issue necessarily. Here he's talking about the proximity ID and the ID. He says one point he makes immediately is ad tech probably knows who you are, where you've been, and whether you're COVID positive already. So he makes an excellent point there. This is the kind of beaconing stuff that ad tech would like to use. He also points out, as I presume, that location data would have to be combined with what the device framework gives you. Published keys are 16 bytes, one for each day. If a moderate number of smartphone users are affected on any given week, that's hundreds of megabytes. And by the way, your phone downloads it all. Every phone would have to download those hundreds of megabytes. He says that seems untenable. To be usable, published keys would likely need to be delivered in a more targeted way, which means we need to know where you are. Third caveat is it seems likely some kind of personally identifiable information, he calls it PII, would have to be combined with what the device framework gives you. Keys published by a device then have to be in turn published to all devices in the world. That's a major denial of service vector. So Moxie, remember, is a security guy. He thinks in terms of what would the bad guys do with this?
Mm-hmm.
He says if anyone can anonymously blast up keys, they can create a situation where there's gigabytes of data for all devices in the world to retrieve and compute. There'd likely need to be some kind of rate limiting on a combination of stable IDs, phone number, IP, in other words, PII, to prevent that. Not to mention the prank aspect of being able to light up everyone you've been near's devices with, you've been exposed to COVID, without them knowing you did it at any time. Just, you know, hey, I tested positive. Bing, 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 bing. All that aside, these APIs are novel in terms of what becomes possible from the app layer. I'm not super optimistic about opt-in contact tracing. That's another flaw. You have to opt into this becoming a major factor. But I do kind of anticipate someone will end up using this for some other interesting thing. And that's his real concern. Besides the prank aspect and the DDoS aspect of it, there's also the issue of ad tech saying, oh, this is good. We could probably use this for something. So
makes sense.
I think we had a big conversation about this on Twit, and at least Owen J.J. Stone and Georgia Dow said this is a non-starter. This is too much privacy invasion, too problematic, and because it's voluntary, too few people will do it, which means it'll be ineffective. For containment to work, it really has to be 100%. And the countries where they've done this successfully are authoritarian regimes. It's worked great in Singapore. It's worked great in China. South Korea is not an authoritarian regime, but they've managed to do it by, I think, compelling people to put these apps on their phones and agreeing to this. So it's going to require, I think, some draconian laws and enforcement for this to work. That's my opinion, and you hear Moxie's opinion. Anyway, I still think, thank you, Google and Apple.
Yes.
They're doing something.
They're doing the things that they can do.
Exactly. This is exactly, and they didn't make the app. They didn't, you know, they did their best to make it as private as possible. Maybe we don't know. They may have considered and addressed the prank and the DDoS aspect of it. So maybe there is a solution to that.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, it's ongoing. Some updates and things that have come out since then as they are working on it.
Right.
Now, next is Tech Insights. It's up on Twitter, put out a tweet. They've been researching. We had talked about how the new iPad Pro has the A12Z chip and how it may be the same as the A12X chip in the last iPad Pro, but with just another GPU core turned on. And Tech Insights has done micro scan of the actual chip, and it does look like it is the same layout, same chip as the one before.
It's identical. It's just a different, it was binned better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's not a surprise. And that's another reason that you probably shouldn't run out and get the 2020 iPad Pro if you've got the 2018.
Yeah, it's just not a huge update.
Right. That's why I haven't put any hats together for you.
Yes, exactly.
He's trying to bribe me. He says, if you put together a care package of hats that I can wear on the show, I'll give you your iPad Pro back. Apparently, not enough incentive because I haven't done it.
Yeah, you're like, oh, now it's got the same chip too. No, I really don't.
I really don't want it. I will try to put that hat. You know what? I started and I go, I don't know what to give him. I don't know what hats he would like.
Oh, it doesn't matter. There's no like or not like. It's just, you know, a couple
weeks.
But
you're just running low.
Yeah. Although I do have a few. I've got 3 shows worth of hats.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put something together today. I have a bag. I'm going to put everything in it.
All right.
It'd be up to you to sanitize it.
Can do. Today at Apple is the excellent in-person classes and demonstrations that Apple provides that teach. They have creative professionals who will show you, for example, I was at Apple Park Visitor Center, and while I was there, they had a person doing sort of sketching over a portrait. So you'd had a portrait of a person and they were showing how you could draw over it to make an illustration of the person. So they usually use these huge screens. People can come and watch. It's sort of casual, but everybody gets an iPad and an Apple Pencil that they sit in the crowd and they use. You know, you return it afterward and you get to follow along and watch it. Well, obviously, we're not all able to gather at Apple's different stores right now because of shelter in place. And so Today at Apple has launched Today at Apple at Home, which brings that creativity to your living room. So the website is available, and it's kind of a long URL, but basically it lets you see the Today at Apple stuff. And that one right there with that gal, I watched that one. So that's what's kind of fun about it too, is that these creatives are in their homes doing this. And so you actually get to see them sort of in their spaces.
Like everybody else. We all know what our house looks like now. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea. I think it's a really great idea.
Yeah, there's some fun stuff in here. And, you know, there's if not exactly doing the things that she suggests, it can give some inspiration for you to try some things out. And there are several ones, including some video portraiture that you can do while you're in your home. And so, yeah, I think this is great. Just more activities for folks to try while they are sheltering in place. And then last on the list is Facebook, which has launched an experimental messaging application for the Apple Watch.
Basically, I came back to Facebook just in the nick of time.
It's called Kit, which is stands for Keep in Touch.
Can I get it, or do you have to sign up for something? Or
you can get it. It's called Kit. And so if you click on or tap on Kit right there in the TechCrunch article, then it lets you download it.
So how does it work? What happens here?
Well, it lets you talk to your friends. And so it's essentially
walkie-talkie.
It's walkie-talkie. Exactly. But
is it any different?
It's in Messenger. And I guess the thing about it is that it combines your other Messenger integrations with this walkie-talkie feature. So you can share your current location, you can send a message, and you can send video. By message, I meant text message, and you can send video. So if you are a Messenger person, a person who uses Messenger to be in touch with folks, then maybe this is an app you want to use. Because I will say there is something when I've used walkie-talkie with a few friends and mostly with my mom, and there is something that's a little bit handy about it.
Really? But I found it annoying.
Well, and this is my big thing is that I, while I don't use walkie-talkie all that much, one of the things I do is if I know that a message or a response that I need to send is going to be long and require either lots of texting or is going to require a certain thought process, then I will use the Voice Memos app and just record something. And
yeah,
my friends,
I think that's great.
Me.
And then they can listen to it at their leisure.
At their leisure, exactly.
But you can even do that in Messages.
Yes.
Apple Messages. I don't know if Facebook have a little button that you can record audio. I used to do that all the time instead of texting. I know, I don't either. By the way, this can't be installed on your iPhone. It's one of the new Apple Watch Store apps that you have to buy. You have to do on your watch.
Strictly
on your watch.
It's only on Apple Watch.
So only on Apple Watch exclusive.
I have to search. This is such a bad interface. Kit. Well, at least I was able to do that. And it came up with MyHeritage Family Tree.
Oh,
video
brother.
Call Santa.
Can you not airdrop it to your Apple Watch? I don't think you can. Can you?
How does? Give up. Anyway, I didn't really want it, so fine.
Yeah, exactly.
home pass for Home Kit.
Hey, that's a good one.
That's a good one. I guess maybe I'll try Facebook Kit. Facebook Kit.
Try Kit. No. Keep in touch. Kit, keep in touch.
Okay. Kit, keep in touch. No results found.
Oh, my gosh.
The heck with it. Let's quickly do some questions because we got to get going here. It's Mac Break Weekly time in just a couple of minutes. Who has contacted Alrighty. Us from the outside world?
Let's see. Who has contacted us from the outside world? We've got Eileen. Come on, Eileen. I'm sure you've heard that a lot. Eileen from Connecticut, who says, I just bought the whole enchilada. What? iPad 11-inch Pro.
Nice.
The whole enchilada.
The whole enchilada.
iPad 11-inch Pro. A terabyte of Wi-Fi. And so it's a, okay, 11-inch
iPad
Pro.
She got the
Pro.
One you wanted.
1 terabyte yep. with Wi-Fi and cellular.
Nice.
I heard you say you use data. This was to me, but I mean, it was to us, but Micah, comma. I heard you say you use data just for the iPad. Who are you using and can you roll over your data?
I
Do you know
who
of
you're
any
using.
Buy data? You know who I'm using.
You're using the Fox.
Unfortunately, track phone. She mentions track phone as an option. I would be using it only once in a while, so I'm not keen on a monthly bill. Any information would be appreciated. So, Eileen, I use the Fox Mint Mobile for my data, and it is a monthly bill, though, so that's something to keep in mind. It's much more price conscious than the other ones out there. However, I want to point out that Apple, if you go to apple.com/iPad/cellular, Apple has a whole list of all of the different mobile carriers that you can try out, and many of them have pay-as-you-go data plans, including T-Mobile. T-Mobile's a really popular one for the pay-as-you-go
I use T-Mobile.
Option.
Yep.
Yeah. Ooh.
And I use Project Fi, Google's own MVNO. One of the nice things about Project Fi, you can get a data-only SIM for them, so that eliminates the $20 a month for voice and text, and you pay as you go. So I think it's a good deal. I can't remember. It's 10 bucks a gigabyte, I think. So if you don't use it, you won't get a bill. You won't have to pay anything. If you use it, you'll only pay for what you use. And they cap out. It's after $60, you don't have to pay any more until you get to like an even larger area. But go to fi.google.com. You can learn about it. I think the Google Fi data only SIMs are probably a very good choice. I should tell you, though, if you use those, you will be on the T-Mobile network. Google doesn't have its own network. And I don't think when I use it on the iPad, Google has this technology where you can use T-Mobile, Sprint, or US Cellular, or Wi-Fi, depending on which works best. I don't think it works the same way on the iPad as a data SIM. I'm only seeing T-Mobile. Now that T-Mobile and Sprint have merged, I don't know if that makes a difference.
Oh, that could. Now, Eileen, as well, you should know that that iPad Pro has an eSIM, which is just a virtual SIM that's built into the device
as opposed to
one you slide in.
Oh.
It has a SIM slot, so you can do a third party. Okay. But this is the tip, Eileen. Go to launch the settings app, tap on cellular data, and then underneath cellular plans, choose add a new plan. From there, it'll take a moment for it to pop up, and then it says select carrier. And you can tap on any of these carriers, AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, Always Online, GigSky, and TruePhone are the ones that are listed. You can tap other if you have another option. And by tapping on one of those, for example, I'll tap on GigSky, for example, it loads the page and it will show you what the different plans are that they have available. And so you can choose. So I'm going to go back and choose T-Mobile, and it actually shows here, and I know my service isn't super great right now, but I can choose go prepaid. Data for a day, a week, a month, we've got a plan for you. So you can see there that there are all of these options that you don't even need to have a SIM card You don't have to wait for the SIM card to come. You can use the eSIM within the iPad to go ahead and get connected. So there are lots of different carrier cellular plans that are already available on your iPad, and many of them offer pay-as-you-go plans, so you're not going to have a monthly bill.
Yeah. I mean, the way Google Fi works, your monthly bill is just they debit your credit card, so it's not like there's paper or anything. But I think there's some good choices. I've been very happy with Google Fi. But like you, I only use data once in a while. It's only when, because mostly I'm on Wi-Fi. But it's nice to have, and I presume she got it for that reason, because it's $129 extra. It's nice to have if you're not at home and you want to have access. You're sitting at a, I guess these days, you're always at home.
That's so true. Maybe wait to get that plan.
Yeah, maybe
until
wait.
You need it.
Yeah.
Kevin from somewhere in Indiana wrote in with an interesting thought that I kind of was jazzed about the idea. Kevin says, I suspect the next shoe to drop in this deal, and the deal that they're talking about is the Amazon and Apple deal, where Amazon gets to do rent-free streaming purchases. They don't have to pay Apple's tax kind of thing, or we don't know how much exactly. But it says, I expect the next shoe to drop in this deal will be that Amazon lets us use Apple Pay on its website. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
I'd love that. I want that shoe to drop.
Oh, that's interesting. That would be, yeah. Why not? Why? You can use it now, can't you, just as a credit card?
Yes. But just actually having the Apple Pay button.
Oh, I love it when companies do that. It makes it
it makes it
way too easy to buy something.
I know it does. And it's more private. You're not exchanging actual credit card numbers and things like that. Yeah, that'd be really cool. I don't know if it'll happen, but that would be really nice. I'd like that. Richard wrote in, and this is, again, just a little bit of feedback and something to be aware of. While you're waiting for your trackpad for your iPad to come, you can use the MX. And I don't know, do you have one of these, an MX vertical mouse? Logitech MX vertical mouse?
No.
Oh. Well, he says, so maybe, I don't know, maybe he thought that
don't
one of us had a vertical mouse.
I thought you had it.
Oh. No.
Somebody has it. Yeah.
I think Kevin uses a vertical mouse.
It's funny because I thought you had it too.
Interesting. No, yeah. I don't have vertical mouses are weird.
I think Lori Gill has one. Yeah.
Yeah. But I will say that regardless of whether it's vertical or not, the Logitech MX mouses in general, mice are really great for using with Apple's iPad, or excuse me, Apple's sort of pointer technology, because you can map each of the buttons to different things and the scroll wheel and all of that stuff works. So the MX Master, for example, is one of the mice that Logitech has. And I know that Rosemary Orchard has talked about how she uses the MX Master mouse with her iPad, and it's a good experience.
All right. Time to put on your app cap.
It's time for app caps. It's time for hats.
Since now we have to wear masks all the time in Sonoma County, I'm just glad that I have this plague doctor mask that Karsten made for me. Oh, I like yours. What are you, a piece of pie?
It's a piece of pumpkin pie, although I can't get it to go on my head with my headphones on.
You have some very good hats.
I told you, I've got three. Now two after this one.
That's an excellent hat. Where'd you get that?
I don't want to say. It's the place that Odakta orders from, even though he doesn't want people ordering from there because they're not treating their workers very nice.
Oh, that place. Micah has a piece of pumpkin pie on his head.
Yes, I got from Amazon.
a leather lit up plague doctor beak
mask. A little
mask.
Kinky. It's kind of.
It does look a little kinky, doesn't it? Yeah. We wear these for a good reason.
We do.
At this point, I haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah. I've done this show for how long now, and I still don't know what that reason is.
Yeah.
But regardless of the hats, we're doing this because these are our app picks of the week, our app caps, if you will. And that's where we choose apps and services that we like.
I guess I could wear this like a rhinoceros horn.
I dig it.
Now I look like it's a party.
Oh, there you go.
What is your app cap?
My app cap is an app called WatchSmith. And Leo, I think you're going to love this one. WatchSmith is an app that lets you create the closest thing to customized watch faces as you're going to get on the current state of Apple Watch. Leo, let me post a link in the Notion for you to pull up on your screen.
Okay.
Here. I'll put it down under the app cap section. And it's a Mac Stories article, but it has some great screenshots in there, and it shows how the WatchSmith app works. So with the WatchSmith app, you can create individual complications that take up different parts of the screen. So there's infograph circle, infograph corner, infograph top, modular, the extra large complication. And with each of those, you can set up things like the current star field in a given space. You can set up the tide, you can set up date, sunrise, timers, all of these different options that you can have change throughout the day. So you create individual complication settings, and then you schedule it. So I can say, you know, from this period to this period, I would like for this complication to show. But then whenever we get to 2 p.m., so maybe at the start of the day, you want the weather. But then as your day goes on, okay, you've got your weather. Now you'd like that to change to your current activity, or you want to know the tides for some reason, I guess, if you're a surfer. Or I like the star field option, which shows what the stars look like directly above you.
This cracks me up because it just – people really want to customize their iPhones and their Apple Watches and all Apple devices so much. They have to jump through such crazy hoops to do it.
Yes.
And this app is a perfect example. Bizarrely complex.
Bizarre. Yes. Absolutely.
Just crazy app that lets you do something, but only because Apple just won't provide any facility to do it. They just say, no, you're not going to do it. We don't want you to do it. They get in your way.
37. They do. They get
in your way. They don't want
you to do
it.
Sometimes they really push you out of there for sure.
Yeah.
37 complication styles across 10 categories: date, time, calendar, activity, weather, tide.
I'm looking at this going, I don't know. What the hell? What is this? Plus, as with all of these, it's slightly ugly.
It is. It is. Once it's on your watch, like it looks good on the watch because it's just the little circles that are available on the watch. And so it does look good on the watch. But the app itself, horrible. The actual structure of the app is not very pretty. Yeah.
I blame Apple. I don't blame the developer did what they could.
Yes.
Given the limits of what Apple will let them do. And this is what you get.
And you don't throw a fit.
No. How much is it?
So it's free for most of the complications. But if you want certain complication categories, then you pay, I believe it's $1.99 a month for premium or $19.99 a year. So free for most integrations, and then you pay extra for about 10 complication styles and categories. So really most of it's available for free, honestly. Which is nice. But yeah, I think that it's handy having the complication. So for example, on my watch, I have the weather in the top right corner of my watch. And to be able to have that, yes, I want to know at the beginning of the day and maybe midday what the weather, the temperature is. But do I want that slot to always have to be taken up by the weather, or could that change? And so that's what this allows you to do. Whatever you want to put throughout the day, you can set whether
like
it be time,
idea.
Date, or tides, or whatever.
Yeah. It's a complicated app to make complications.
There you go. A complicated complication creator.
Nice.
That's WatchSmith by underscore David Smith, as he is known.
We just call him Undy.
Undy. Yeah. Undy.
Undy. Hey, Undy. How you doing, Undy? So my app is a interesting and difficult to describe app. But for people who care about security, privacy, and want to do ad blocking and maybe malicious site blocking, it's a really neat service. Currently free. Because they're in beta, and even when they go paid, it'll be very affordable. a little less than $2 a month if you use it an awful lot. It's called NextDNS. And the first time I became aware of this was when it became possible in Firefox to say, I want to do my DNS lookups over HTTPS. So I'm going to have to explain some initials there, some acronyms. DNS is the domain name system. It's the basically the phone book that lets you say, oh, I want to go to yahoo.com. And it says, oh, yeah, well, that you would dial 164.1.23.74 or whatever those numbers are. We've all seen those numbers. It's impractical for you to remember those numbers to go to twit.tv. So you just enter twit.tv and the DNS system looks it up and says, here, go to this, and tells your browser. You don't even see the numbers, but that's how it works. There's a couple of problems with it, and we talk about this when we talk about our sponsor ExpressVPN as well. Your internet service provider generally provides the DNS server. So you're effectively telling your ISP everywhere you want to go. Everywhere you go, you're announcing to them, I'm going to go to Yahoo. Okay, now I'm going to go to Twit. And believe me, they love that information. They are eating it up, sometimes using it for marketing, sometimes selling it. And so a lot of people want to use this. HTTPS is the secure technology. And what you're essentially saying is, I'm not going to use, and you could say this, it's in the network settings of Firefox, I'm not going to use my internet service provider's DNS. Would you please use another service and do it encrypted so nobody can see what I'm looking up? So that's a thing many of us have turned on. I think it's now on by default. For a long time, Firefox used Cloudflare. Cloudflare, and we've showed this before also, offers a program called 1.1.1.1, which is an alternative proxy that you go through that can do some ad blocking and malware blocking. NextDNS has combined the two to give you a DNS server that also is private. It's kind of like OpenDNS used to be in the day, but much more sophisticated and flexible, and you can put an app on your iPhone or iPad for free right now and use it. So I've, you know, you might want to put it on your router at home. You might want to use it directly on your iPad. I'm going to launch it on my iPad. I'll show you. I've used it on the iPhone, so it's on the iPhone. And you know, you've probably seen this. The iOS will say, "Oh, it just add this as one of your VPNs," but it's not a VPN. It doesn't replace your VPN. It makes you a little more secure. So it's this easy. You turn it on. Here's their privacy policy. They're a great little company. This is what happens. The reason I showed you my iPhone because it was already set up. Here's what it looks like when you initially set it up on the iPad. It would like to add VPN configurations. So that's how it does this on iOS. And I'm going to enter the passcode. So close your eyes. I wouldn't want you to know. Okay.
I'm not peeking.
And now it's turned on. But turning it on is just the first step. You'll get some basic privacy protections just by turning it on. The next thing you might want to do is use a custom configuration. There are some other settings here. You can add hardened privacy mode. If you've got a teenager using this, the parental control, you could turn on a passcode so they can't turn it off. I can right now, because we're inside of the Twit security zone, I'm not going to mess with that. It'll show you the latency, and you can see how fast the latency is. It's very quick. It's one of the fastest DNS servers out there. They're using Anycast, and they're all over the world. But the main thing here is entering a configuration, and you're going to enter a number. Now, I'm going to go to the web because this is where you'll configure it on nextdns.io. And you can have as many configurations as you want. This is what I call my home configuration, but you see up here that I can create a new configuration. I'll stick with my home configuration. Now, I'm on, as I said, I'm on the corporate network, so I'm not going to use it on the corporate network, but I can do the settings. This becomes your ID. So that's the ID I'm going to enter in the iPhone or the iPad or any device that I use. You also have IPv6 and IPv4 DNS settings and so forth. So they even have descriptions of how to turn this on and how to use it on Android, on iOS, on Windows, on Mac OS, on Linux, on Chrome OS. on Firefox and how to configure your router. So there's all the information you need here. But let's go into some of these settings because I think it's really interesting to see what you can turn on and off. And you have a lot of configuration built into this. Initially, you don't have to mess with this at all, but you might want to take a look at it. Threat intelligence feeds means they're going to follow a number of feeds that will identify certain domains as distributing malware or launching phishing attacks or botnet command and control servers. So you probably do want to block those, right? We're going to block malware and phishing domains using Google Safe Browsing. What? Yeah, you might want to read up on that one. Definitely want to turn that on. Turn on cryptojacking protection, which means they can't put cryptocurrency miners on your device. DNS rebinding. I can go on and on. There's typo squatting. You ever go to a site and mistype the name?
Yeah, hate that.
Hate that. And you get some malware site. There's a lot of, this is a ton of stuff. And I've turned it all on, including blocking child sexual abuse material. But you can also, that's just one tab. There's a privacy tab. You can block third-party trackers. You can add your own block list, but they use a variety of block lists and trackers for blocking ads. You have complete parental control. No porn. I've turned on no porn, gambling, or privacy. But there are. You can also turn on dating sites. Block those dating sites. And here,
how
I love
dare
this.
You?
You can also block Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Reddit, etc. Just add
TikTok.
That. Your teen can no longer use TikTok. There's a blacklist, so you can blacklist domains on your own. There's a whitelist, so you can let through domains that you want your kid or yourself to use. The thing I love about this is the analytics. So I just turned this on yesterday, but already I've done more than 8,000 DNS queries, of which almost 1,000 were blocked, 11%.
Wow.
These are blocked domains. These are all tracking domains, telemetry domains. It shows you which devices you have it on.
Oh, this is neat.
This is really, really good. This is everything you want to secure your DNS, to keep an eye on what you're doing.
Now, it's can you install this at the router level? How do you install this at the router level?
You have to change the ideally, you'd use, if your router supports IPv6, you'd use the IPv6 settings, but you can use also their IPv4 stuff. It's all documented on that page.
Gotcha.
If you change in the router, then everybody in your house will have that same configuration. But you can also do it on device by downloading the next DNS app on iOS or Android. I think this basically is giving you all the capabilities of a Pi hole without running your own Pi hole. That's a Raspberry Pi-based filtering system that's very, very good. We really like it. And I know a lot of you listeners use it. But most of us aren't savvy enough to set up our own Pi hole. Maybe you don't want to spend the time or energy or money to do it. This is a free way to do it very easily. They are right now in beta. They've been in beta for more than a year. I discovered this more than a year ago. In fact, my name's on the front page recommending it. But I've never made it an app cap. I think now for a lot of us at home for the first time, using our computers outside of the umbrella of protection of our IT department at work, this is really, really important. And you see, if your kids are using an iPhone or an iPad or an Android device or even a laptop, you might want to turn on parental controls. You saw that I can enter a configuration ID. That means I have an unlimited number of ways to configure it. So your child's device can be configured completely differently from your device. You may make it more restrictive. I might want to turn off all social networks on my device just so I'm not tempted, right? So this is really, really powerful. A really great solution. They're a good company. You can trust them. Firefox does. They've added NextDNS to their choices in the DNS over HTTPS drop-down box. It's a little more capable than, by the way, Cloudflare has added similar capabilities, so you can check out what Cloudflare is doing. This is a little bit more capable. I love the granularity of it. I love the analytics of it. It's for geeks, but it's also fascinating, and it's a great way to kind of learn about the threats that are out there. I mentioned it's free in beta. After it goes out of beta, it'll be free for the first 300,000 lookups, which for most people is going to be free forever. If you really use a lot of devices and you do a lot of surfing and a lot of DNS lookups, it's $1.99 a month after 300,000 for an unlimited number of lookups. I don't think, given the number I've hit, I will hit 300,000. I only did about 10,000 over the last 24 hours.
So have you set this up with your Eero at home?
It's on my router, yeah.
I'm going to set this up with my Eero then.
I did it on the Orbi. I haven't tried it on the Eero. The Eero has its own Eero Plus, which is very similar. So I didn't put it on the Eero for that reason. We pay for Eero Plus. But if you don't have that kind of capability on your router, or you just want to do it per device, I think it's really good. Next, DNS. You will be the master of your domain.
Very cool. Very cool.
Put the hat back on. Very uncomfortable. If you enjoy this show, you can watch us do it live, which is definitely a different experience than the version that you get thanks to Kevin King. Kevin will be taking out all the mess ups and cleaning it up and making us look more professional. But you can watch us do it live, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern time. That would be 1600 UTC. Live. We're at twit.tv/live. There's audio and video streams to choose from there. On demand at the website twit.tv/iOS or on YouTube or on your Amazon Echo or other devices, your Google device. Just say, hey, device, play iOS today. Sometimes you have to say on TuneIn and it'll just play and it's awesome. Micah, how do people reach us?
They can reach us by emailing iostoday@twit.tv, iostoday@twit.tv. And that's how you get your question answered or your feedback shared right there in the email. Thank you for those of you who've emailed us.
And thank you for those of you who subscribe. We love our subscribers. Get your favorite podcast app and subscribe to iOS Today so you get it automatically every Tuesday afternoon after Kevin King does his magic massaging. You can also subscribe.
Kevin, can you Photoshop my hand?
You can also subscribe on YouTube. Hit the how do the kids do?
How does it work?
Hit the subscribe button and ring the bell.
I just learned that last time I was in the studio for Hands on iOS. I learned about ring that bell.
Ring that bell. Never heard of that before. So that you're a priority subscriber, and we will see you next time on iOS Today.
Today.
Bye bye.